the melodic music station.
Colourful Radio.
Let's cross to the City of Angels now and speak to a writer and producer, Sabrina Campbell, who doesn't live too far away from the UCLA Medical Center. Sabrina, good evening to you. It's late night your time, fast approaching midnight. What are your thoughts? So when did you hear the news?
I actually got the news. I was actually in an editing session around 2:30 this afternoon, and my editor just started receiving a number of texts from his friends, text messages. Michael Jackson is dead. And I was like, oh, it can't be true. So I said, go to CNN.com. And when we went to CNN, it just said that Michael Jackson was in a coma.
That's right.
So, but then we went to the Huffington Post site, and it said Michael Jackson had died. We went to New York Post, it said Michael Jackson had suffered. So there were all these different reports, but I was like, well, if CNN hasn't confirmed it, I don't believe it.
That's right. They're normally very, very cautious, aren't they?
They're very cautious about their reporting. They make sure they have all the details before they, you know, make an assumption. And it took about a good 30, 40 minutes after that first report before they actually confirmed that he had died.
And when it was confirmed, I mean, what did you think?
For me, I was traumatized. I was devastated. I just could not believe it. I just couldn't believe it, and I still don't believe it. I just still cannot believe Michael Jackson is dead. How did it happen? What happened? Of course, everyone wants to know. And, you know, in listening to all the reports today on the news, Randy Jackson, the judge from American Idol, was saying how he just gotten a report days ago of how fantastic his rehearsals were going for the concert he was about to do in London. And that they were just raving about it and how great Michael was during rehearsal. And then they said there was a report, of course, last night that he was sick and he called his manager and the doctor came. But they left and assuming he was okay. And then he had cardiac arrest sometime this afternoon.
A real, real shock, a real shock. I mean, there are a number of people here in this country who were worried about the stress and the toll that preparing for 50 concerts in a row were going to take on him, on his very, very frail body. But were there concerns about his health generally in the LA community? I mean, he's been living there on and off for a while, and I know that you get the inside track on a lot of these things. What kind of things were people saying?
Well, you know, a lot of people have made comments about, you know, that he was very frail, very skinny. But, I mean, Michael has always been a very thin guy, but especially during his trial. Remember how he went to court in pajamas, and he did look quite sickly then, but I think it was just a lot of pressure. But most recently, I know myself, I had read that he was actually working out for the tour with, I can't think of the actor's name, the guy who actually was the Incredible Hulk in the original series, was training him.
Oh, Lou Ferrigno.
To prepare and build, yes, and building up his stamina for the concert. So, I mean, he lost a lot of weight, but for the most part, you know, they said he was doing fine in the rehearsals. But it was interesting because today I was listening to a report from Sheryl Crow, who used to be one of his backup singers. And I think what she said was very profound, that I don't know if so much the tour of preparing for the tour was too much pressure on him physically as it was all the criticism from the media and the people over the years and having to live up to being Michael Jackson, you know, the pop icon, and really surpassing himself with his success of Thriller and all the success that he's had over his life.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was a great statement that she made.
Very much so. I mean, if you think about the track Scream, which recorded with Janet, I mean, very, very, very powerful. And you can just imagine it's a guy who feels that everything is hemming him in and he just wants to scream and just break out and break free. I'm just looking at an email coming in from one of our listeners over in Toronto, Canada, and that's Richard. Hi, Richard. Thank you very much for that. And what he says is he can't say he was ever the biggest Michael Jackson fan, but he was a great and talented performer. And he says, I trust he is now free of whatever was tormenting him. And Michael did come across as a tormented man. I mean, the boy who never grew up in a way, didn't have a childhood, tried to cling on to a childhood, especially in a place like Los Angeles where you can almost be whatever you want to be.
Yeah, and, you know, I always say to people, you know, you could never understand Michael Jackson because you've never had to be famous all your life. And not, you know, some stars, they start out and they build a momentum and become a megastar, but he's been a star, a huge star since the age of 5 years old. So he had to learn to be a celebrity even when he was a child and to be have the maturity of an adult even when he was 5 years old. He was always a leader. He could never just be, as you said, a child. He could never just be normal, go to the playground, go to the amusement park. I mean, none of us will ever know what it's like to live like that.
Absolutely not, Sabrina.
But
and
yes.
You were on the same stage with him a number of years ago at the inauguration of Bill Clinton, just a few yards away from him. What was it like being in his aura, in his presence in that way?
Well, I did have the privilege years ago when Bill Clinton was first inaugurated as president. I was working as an intern. I had just graduated from George Washington University, and I was working with talent. And I was actually in the tent where they were holding talent. And I just heard all the rumbling. They were like, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. And I was standing in the tent right across from him. And I came out and he walked out and my knees actually buckled, you know, because of course I was starstruck.
Yes.
You know, to be face to face with Michael Jackson. And I mean, everyone was there. It was Michael. It was Diana Ross. It was the Winans. It was Stevie Wonder. I mean, it was a huge concert on the Mall, one of the biggest.
Wow.
And he was a part of it that year. And it was a great opportunity and learning experience for me. And of course, just amazing to be able to see Michael face to face. And, you know, I've been blessed enough in my lifetime to actually see two of his concerts live. And you haven't seen a concert until you've been to a Michael Jackson concert.
Oh, believe me, I agree with you there. I saw him in 1988 in Munich and then in London at Wembley in 1992. And I wasn't looking forward to the O2 series. Well, one, I didn't have a ticket, but two, also the spectacle, what may have happened. I was concerned that he may not have survived it. And, of course, he wasn't even able to live to start this series. It's truly shocking. I mean, our reporter, our presenter, who does the news, talking about a number of reports coming in about Michael having taken a cocktail of drugs. It could be painkillers. I mean, like Elvis, in some ways, he was addicted to painkillers, according to some reports.
Yeah.
We'll find out more and more as the day goes on. But as it closes there in Los Angeles, California, what's the mood right now? And what are people feeling? What are they saying? I mean, it's obviously a very, very, very big moment there.
People are very sad. People are very hurt. You know, for me, you know, I'm hurt. It's almost as if you've lost a family member, you know, because many of us have grown up with Michael Jackson's music. And, you know, it's so funny because I was having a conversation with my mom today, and she said, you know, Sabrina, I think he's the first man you ever fell in love with. And it's true. I was in love with Michael Jackson, as I think most young women were during the time. My walls were plastered with Michael Jackson posters. I knew every dance move of the Thriller video, as most young women did.
Yes.
And so every young girl at the time wanted to grow up and marry Michael Jackson. So it's a loss and on so many levels. You know, of course, in terms of music, but he was also a great humanitarian, you know, in terms of what he did with We Are the World and all the money it raised. And he gave a lot, you know, but in the last few years, there's been so much negative press with the, you know, alleged child molestation.
Well, all these scandals, that's right. I mean, of course, people don't really want to dwell on them too much today. I mean, you'll get some news programs that will do because that's the business of news. But your love of Michael Jackson, the general love of Michael Jackson, you think has survived all of these scandals. It's will live way beyond the way in which his life was really tarnished from 1992 and the whole Jordy Chandler incident onwards, really, through till 2005 and Gavin Arviso and the Martin Bashir program. For you, that didn't matter?
No, it didn't. It didn't because I guess for me, I've always had a lot of empathy for him because I felt he had such a tough life in terms of having to grow up being a star, having to carry the weight of, you know, the group and, you know, his family on his back. And, I mean, selling 37 million records, you know, I think he was his biggest competition. You know, once you achieve something like that, it's like, I have to do better. And in all the reports, they all said he was a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So for him, not selling another 30 million records, even if he sold 5 million, 6 million, which is great for an artist, for him, that wasn't great. So he had to deal with not the pressure from, you know, the media, the world, and the pressure he put on himself.
And what about the pressure, if there was any, from the African-American community, which would have been confused at his lifestyle, at his changing appearance, and would have been concerned and would have possibly fallen in and out of love with him time and again? Is there an extra dimension there still?
I don't think the African-American community ever fell out of love with Michael. I think, you know, we made our comments about his appearance. But as far as his music and as far as even when the trial was going on, he had a lot of support in the African-American community. You know, I mean, I always felt like if he's wrong, he should be punished. But at the end of the day, I always felt like, why would people allow their children go and to stay with him? You know, if he's at fault, he's at fault. But it's also the responsibility of a child's parents to, you know, be aware of the environment that they're allowing them to stay in. So, I mean, I think a lot of people were just trying to extort money from him, too. And because Michael was such a nice guy and Michael really did enjoy being around children, he could be a bit naive. That's what I believe.
Okay, Sabrina, it's been really, really good talking to you all the way over there in Los Angeles. I know that it's nearly midnight now. You'll be going off to bed. Or maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be watching the 24-hour news channels through the night. I mean, I did a lot of that, which is why I'm really feeling it this morning. But I felt I had to. You always have to, don't you, when something really major like this happens. Sabrina Campbell, all the way from Los Angeles, California, the City of Angels, on Michael Jackson. Thank you very much indeed for staying up for us. Thanks a lot, Sabrina.
Thank you.
The Melodic Music Station.
Colourful Radio.